I wanted to ask you, may I be seated? How did you discover this gift? No offense intended, though. But this one is harder than singing, you know. I'm not offended. I know worship, I know, but oratory power like this. What happened? You just were at home and you were testing. Because I was looking at it. How did you know? How did you discover? Okay. But honestly, you have to share how you discovered this. All right then. It's like we should be going home, honestly. It's just that my name is on the posters. So I have to preach. But honestly, we can close this night and all of us will say we are what? We are blessed. All right then. Thank you very much for that ministry. Let's put our hands together. Amen. All right. I just want to introduce a friend of mine, and also in his calling, and also in his official capacity. So he's the second person I invited. All right. As a young minister to speak at Wolfbeck. Pastor Shola Oshumakede. His calling is the senior pastor and founder of House of David Church. But his position is that he is the treasurer of Pentecostal Fellowship. When we're electing the treasurer, somebody whispered, he said, this is money matter. No, I'm not joking. This money matter. Let's elect a trustworthy person. No, let's elect a trustworthy. And we say, it's a pastor for love. So I want to thank you, man, for coming. Amen. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you. Thank you for the vision of Wolfbeck. Thank you for the great vessels that you have sent in the past who have deposited grace into our lives. Thank you for those who are coming through this particular year. We thank you for the outpouring of your spirit. We have entered into a place of rest concerning this meeting, for we have prayed. In your faithfulness and mercy, you have hearkened unto our prayers. You have poured forth your spirit upon us. We have received manifestations in this meeting. We've received utterance in this meeting. And we know that your will has been established within our lives in the mighty name of Jesus. And in line with that, I ask that you grant utterance to me this evening, that I speak as your oracle, that your word goes forth unhindered by any demonic force, in simplicity, but with accuracy and in power, that our hearts be established in the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. All right, I want to speak on, I've come from another angle concerning soaring in faith, and I really, really liked I was thinking about it after the message, that it's unusual for somebody to come from United States and speak to us like that. That's an African message that we have lost. You know we have lost it. All right. So I said, from California. This is powerful. All right. Okay. All right. So I'll look at this issue of soaring here in faith from a certain perspective. Now, I checked on it, and you pray and you believe you saw something in the spirit, then you have to check whether what you saw in the spirit is so that you don't say it as something you saw in the spirit and the facts of the matter do not back what you are, all right, saying, which is why a lot of times, particularly people that want to operate in the prophetic, you must make sure you are grounded in scripture or you enter error. Because if you just see things in the spirit realm, you will start saying things. And you will start out being accurate in those things. And when you now are confident about your accuracy, then the enemy enters in, and then you start saying things you shouldn't say. So soaring there is different, I saw it, all right, from flying. Which means that eagles fly and eagles also soar. And if you can put it up here, I mean, I saw this, and I'm put up, can you put up the right up here in terms of soaring and flying? All right. To soar means more than just to fly. It means to rise swiftly. It means to feel the wind slipping below you as a ride it higher, higher and higher. So flying, you are moving through the air, but soaring here, there are certain conditions that must be in place in order for the eagle to be able to begin to soar. That's why the Bible says that they that wait upon the Lord, they shall mount. In other words, there is this timing there that is associated with it. Also, when a person is soaring, like we heard this evening, there's a technique to it, and the technique is different from when the eagle is flying. Now, the eagle can fly at any time, but it only has the opportunities to soar at certain times when the conditions are right. And at that particular point, there's a spiritual skill, let's say it that way, that is required, a type of faith that is required. And you can have faith on different levels. And with Jesus, he will not condemn you on whatever level you're operating faith on. So the Roman centurion operated at a level and told Jesus, this is why you shouldn't never be critical about anybody, about their level of faith, so long as they are doing it unto God. He said, look, to Jesus, he said, if you can come and lay your hands on my servant, if you come to my house, he will be made whole. And Jesus was going there at that particular level. And then the Roman centurion changed and got something and said, you don't have to come again. I speak the word only where you are, and my servant shall be made whole. And the Bible tells us that Jesus marveled at his faith. Now, Jesus always knew that he could have spoken the word where he was, but it was that the man didn't know that at that particular point in time, and Jesus was willing to operate with him at the level at which he was operating. Same thing with Peter. There was a level there where he walked on water. Then there was another level where he couldn't walk on water again, and he was sinking, and he cried on Jesus, save me. And Jesus didn't condemn him. Jesus didn't say, why are you doing this? You should walk on water. Jesus pulled him out of the water and put him back into the boat. So when we come to this here, the opportunity for it must present itself. In other words, if I'm going to soar there in faith, that moment must come, and you must understand when the opportunity presents itself for it to happen. And an opportunity is when the set of circumstances are right for something. And eagles know when the circumstances are right to soar. The problem is that we as believers and people on this earth, we get into these situations and we don't know that this is a calling to move into this realm. I mean, if you look at Jeremiah chapter 8 and verse 7, you put it up in King James, then after that, Amplified, Classified. It says, the stork in the heaven knoweth her appointed times, and the turtle dove and the crane and the swallow observe the time of their coming. But my people know not the judgment of the Lord. Now, even before we go into this, if we look at the book of Ecclesiastes chapter 8 and verse 6, it says in Ecclesiastes 8, because to every purpose there is time and judgment. It says, therefore, the misery of man is great upon him. In other words, when you miss times and seasons in your life, all right, not you, but a person's life, will be miserable on this earth. And there are many people that are wondering as to God. What really happened? Why am I still in this particular situation? And today I say this constantly. There are a lot of Christians. I mean, Romans chapter 5 verse 5 tells us they have a feeling of being shortchanged in life. Many Christians. Particularly even people who have been Christians for a very long time. And what's going on is there's that dissatisfaction. I've been in this thing for 20 years. The promises that we had at the onset was you are gods. All right? You will speak to things, massive things. And there was the promise, the vision of what will happen, all right, through the Christian faith. And I come to a point where there's no realization of those things. And there's a dissatisfaction on the inside of them. Almost a resentment. Now, that resentment is being pushed towards the church. But it's really a resentment, really, towards God as to the fact that what really is going on. And the real truth is the issue of time and chance. The Bible says the race is not for the swift. The battle is not for the strong. In Ecclesiastes 9:11, it says, I returned and I saw. And when I was listening to Dr. Meselterville say this, and it struck me deeper. He said, put it up, Exodus 9. He says, the battle is not for the strong. Bread is not for the wise. Riches to men of understanding. He says, not yet favor to men of skill. But time and chance happened to them all. Which means everybody experiences time and chance. He says, and what happens is the differentiation there. The one time and chance means the opportunities that time presents. Jesus spoke about the fact that he says you've missed the time of your visitation. So there are times of visitation when, as it were, portals or doors are opened up in the realm of the spirit for the realization of certain things. Peter couldn't just decide to walk on water at any time. But when the wind was blowing and the storm was there, Jesus started coming towards him on water. And the opportunity was opened to Peter. Come on water, get out of the boat and come on water here. And Peter said, Jesus, if it's you, bid me to come. And took it and got on water there and then began to sink again and left there. So those opportunities exist for you to soar. Which means portals are open at certain times in the realm of the spirit. Doors are opened up in the spirit realm. And there is a calling there for you to come in and to be able to begin to operate at a much higher level in faith. So how do we know when this opportunity, all right, has come to us in life? Because the opportunity must present itself for you to rise up and enter into that particular realm where a portal is opened up. Like Pastor Steph said here, when they sin, it even deadens your senses. You can't even recognize the environment. You won't even know times or seasons because it actually kills the heart and deadens. So your sense of perception just will not be there. You will not be able to pick up or write signals, and time will just be the same thing to you throughout. So a portal gets opened up in heaven, and God changes. The Bible says he changes times and he changes seasons. Daniel chapter 2 verse 21. And it says when he changes the times and changes the seasons, he uses it to change kings. And he changes the times and seasons. He removeth kings and sets up kings. He gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to them of understanding. Which means every season has its own unique wisdom. And if you don't understand the wisdom of that season, what happens is you are removed from influence and authority. That's what happens. So if you see like a ministry or even a business that was on the cutting edge and is going south here, it's time and chance that happened. The season changed and they didn't pick the wisdom of that new season. In fact, it was Kenneth Hagin that said, look, a wave that carries you from the shore, takes you high, that wave is coming back. And when it comes back, another one goes. He said, if you don't understand the next one, you'll be left at the shore there. All right? So it's time and chance that happens there. And you've got to understand when changes are beginning to happen in the realm, all right, of the spirit. I mean, what IBK Quick did here was extremely powerful. Years ago, nobody would open a conference and say, someone should come in and do that. But you've heard that the ministry itself can even be more, may have more impact than, you get what I'm saying here. And you can, because you don't understand that seasons are changing and times are actually changing. So when is the time? Is the first thing I want to establish. When is the time for you to now serve? When is the time where there is a demand in the realm of the Spirit for you to serve? Matthew chapter 16 and verse 3. God made this, and it happens to everybody. Listen, there is nobody on this earth, even if you see somebody sitting by the road begging, time and chance happens to that person. Are you following what I'm saying here? If you see somebody begging by the road, time and chance happens to that person. You know, I'm going to say this. Some people sometimes call it luck. They call it, but it's time and chance that happens to them. So everybody, so nobody on this earth can tell me the opportunity for me did not come. You didn't see it. You didn't recognize it. All right? You may even have stoned it when it came. Are you following what I'm saying here? Time and chance, all right, comes to everybody. I've said this before, and I will say this publicly because I say it privately. When we're going to start this ministry, I decoded something in the spirit realm. And when I decoded it, I looked at something, and explained earlier, I looked at something that was going on in ministry, and I went in a campus fellowship, and I decoded, and I said, this thing shouldn't remain as a campus fellowship. We should go in and establish a ministry in this nation. I called my colleagues that were around me, who were campus people. I said to them, I said, we can take this country. Guys said, why? I said, we can take this country. I said, why? I said, we were students. And I remember we had a convention. And in the convention, then we invited everybody, Archbishop, Idausa, Bishop, we called everybody to convention. What struck me was that Reverend Kumko came to meet me. He said, educational tour up there. He said, come. He had finished preaching, he had gone. He came back and came to see me outside the education auditorium. He said, I came to see you about something. I said, what? He said, stand. He said, there is something going on here you must understand and you must appreciate. He said, you're a campus fellowship. We were not expecting that anybody would give us an honorarium when we come to preach. Campuses don't do those kind of things. They'll give you malt, oranges, and you'll be going to heaven. Okay. Things have changed now, but, you know, in fact, think people have abused it now, but let's leave that. That's not what we're talking about. But oranges, and you take your oranges and all of that. If you are spending the night, bread and sardine, you eat it with and go. And he said to me, he said, you people gave me an honorarium that was 5 times what an established church gave me. He said, that church seats 5,000 people in the city of Lagos every Sunday morning. He said, how is it that you students did that? So I had gotten signals that something here, was going on. Then I understood in the realm of the spirit that there is the principle of the firstborn. And that any move of God will crystallize in one person who becomes the firstborn as a pattern for the rest of them. So I looked at it and I said, this is firstborn inheritance I want to enter. But before I do it, let me take authorization from the person who established this ministry. Because, this is what I was saying, because I said, if I go in and I saw it in the spirit, I will not be loyal not to tell him about it. See, if I tell you in this Lagos to count 4 ministries in Lagos, this ministry I'm talking about, a ministry you count it. They asked the guy, why did you come to Lagos? He said, that chap that was on, this was the president of my fellowship, that chap, he relocated out of Nigeria and opened this space for us. He said, if he stayed in Lagos, we would never, if I tell you to call for, you will call it, you will never have come to Lagos. There are things in the spirit you can't see. There are gaps. I want to show you here. And the higher you fly, the more visibility you have. So you see, when I want to get here. When you soar to a level, you start seeing things. When you're on the ground, caught up in your emotions, you don't see anything. You'll be arguing and struggling with people. Do you get what I'm saying? Yeah. And you won't see what is actually going on. The higher, that's why in military, they will have a watchtower. What's the watchtower about? Visibility. Because the higher you are, the more visible you'll be. So I went to meet him. I wrote him an 11-page letter. And I told him, I said, listen, I gave his wife, she said, I don't understand what you're saying. I said, I will go out and start a ministry. If I start it, nobody will know all of you people, because I will have carried the inheritance. I will not start it without your authorizing. This one, listen to me. God is my witness. I told him, I said, start this ministry. I told him, I said, I am on ground. It wasn't in Nigeria. I said, I'm on ground in Nigeria. I know the terrain. You don't know it, but you are the one to do it. Come, do it. I will back you. I will be your assistant pastor. Let's go. He said, you wrote me, said, I'm not interested. You understand what I'm saying here? Look, when God gives you eyes, you don't steal. Do you understand what I'm saying here? When God gives you eyes, you don't steal. I said, are you sure? He said, I am sure. I said, now use better words now. What I was saying was, a portal has been opened up for us. He said, you can go ahead and do whatever you want to do. Okay? And the way it is, look, I know we say many things about God that sound nice. But if Rahab missed her opportunity, listen, if Rahab missed it, that she didn't see those spies, Rahab will have perished in that city. Don't joke with things in the spirit. That's why Mordecai told Esther, if you hold your peace, you are in the kingdom for such a time as this. If you hold your peace, don't think. He said the enlargement and deliverance will come from somewhere else. Says, but you, your father's house, and you will be destroyed. So it's not something that you joke with. And if you ask any elderly person, if they will tell you the truth in the years of their life and look back, they will tell you that there might be many businesses that I know, but they should have been the one that were doing it. When we started Wolfbeck, somebody told a gentleman in Nigeria here, he said, that meeting that you called, I was the one to call it. He said, it's after he called that meeting that I realized it was me to call it. It's because I didn't call it, God went to meet him and gave him the meeting. Do you get what we're saying here? So we need to understand, I want to show something here. How do you know? And if you don't get into those spaces, then you'll be wondering what's happening, God. I've been praying, I've been this, I've been serving you, I've been doing all of this, I've been doing all of that. But you'll be arguing with your neighbors. Do you get what I'm saying here? You won't know spiritual things. You'll be arguing, fighting everybody that is fighting with you, not knowing the time of this particular thing. So there's a time in which it happens. And God always gives you the sign. Now, you may not see it, but nobody under the sun cannot tell me God didn't give the sign. Matthew chapter 16, verse 3. God doesn't do anything without a sign first. God does not. It says, you say, in the morning, it will be foul weather, for the sky is red and lowering. It says, okay, let's go to the verse 2. It says this. It says, he answered and said, when it is evening, you say there will be fair weather, for the sky is red. Right? And then in the morning, you say this. It says, you can discern the face of the sky. One other one, it says, you see the clouds, you know that rain is coming. He said, you see the wind, you know heat is coming. He said, you hypocrite, you can discern the face of the sky. That means before I do anything, clouds gather. Before I do anything there, certain things happen. He says, and those things happen in your life, but you didn't read the meaning. COVID was a sign that opened up doors. Do you understand what I'm saying? If you look at it, even in ministry, there are many ministries today that have gone global. It was COVID. It was during COVID. Alright? It were doors that opened up. The wisdom at that time was different from the wisdom before that time. And let me say, show you what happened. Revelation 1 and verse 1. God comes. Revelation 1:1. It says, the revelation of Jesus, which God gave unto him, to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass. And he sent and signified it by his angel to his servant. In other words, when something is about to come to pass in your life, God will send an angel to signify that thing. That angel comes into your environment and tampers with certain things. Now you may get angry at what he has done because you don't know he's an angel. Alright? You get offended at what is going on because you simply don't know that this is an angel. Look, we started opening up centers. If I had waited 2 months, we won't have those centers. I had had it in my heart. You can ask the staff. I told them, go out. We are going to use cinemas. They had gone. They had looked for some places. They came back. So what happened was, I was saying, will this thing work? Will it work? Will it work? Then COVID happened. Then everybody was looking at their phones and getting church. You know, then we'll have screen. People will say, the pastor is not around. I'm not going. Is this screen we are going to watch? Is it big screen or big screen? Big like this. That's like, I'm not going down there. Now COVID came. Everybody was looking at their phone. Service, online service. And I know this. It takes 29 days for the brain to be recalibrated. COVID lasted longer than that. God told me, he said, their brains are recalibrated. He said, now, if you put them in cinemas with big screens, they'll be rejoicing with joy unspeakable. Move now before the brain goes back. If you had waited, the brain would have come back. So we must see him. We must touch him. Do you get what I'm saying? That season has gone. You answered. So how do, when do eagles start soaring? When contrary winds start blowing. Once contrary winds start blowing, no, it's time. Are you following what I'm saying here? When Jesus came to walk on water, the contrary winds were blowing. Once contrary winds start blowing, it's not a time to murmur and complain. That's why I'm saying that people that saw, the technique of faith is different. They count it all joy at what others are angry about. They rejoice at what other people, right, are complaining about. Right? So, the contrary winds begin to blow. And the eagles leverage on these contrary winds and use them to move up into higher planes. And they also increase their speed to lift. And pilots will say this. They'll say, why? He says, we will rather fly to take off when contrary winds are blowing. That's when we want to take off. Because then we can move up faster and get to higher, all right, altitude there quicker when the contrary wind is blowing. So once that contrary wind starts blowing, that's why Jesus said, now it's not easy on the flesh, oh. You can even preach it. If a contrary wind blows, you won't like it all. I'm not saying you will enjoy it all. I'm just saying you will do it. Are you following what I'm saying here? It's not everything that God tells you to do, you enjoy doing. You just do it. The food you like eating the most is the one that is worst for you. Someone said, how am I going to be in shape? He said, just eat what doesn't taste nice. You'll be a cookie. What tastes nice is what gives problems. Yeah. Eat what doesn't taste nice. They say that this thing doesn't taste nice. It's good for you. Alright? So the contrary wind begins to blow. And once the contrary wind starts blowing, then the eagle says, it's time for us to move into it. Put up that Jeremiah 8, like quoted verse 7. Put it up in Amplified, classified here. Alright. Amplified class. Alright. Okay. It says, even migratory birds are punctual to their seasons. Yes, the stork, excelling in great height of her flight in the heavens, knows her appointed times of migration. And the turtle dove and the swallow and the crane observe their time, the time of their return. Let me leave that. Okay? I hope you know what that return means. All right. But my people do not know the law of the Lord, which the lower animals, so after you have got the passport, return. All right. Which the lower, I'm kidding. Which the lower animals instinctively recognize insofar as it what applies to them. It says animals know it. Christians don't know it. All right. Christians don't know that time. And if you look at Romans 5, put up the Message translation, verse 4. This is what I'm saying. Romans 5, verse 4, Message translation. It says this, or let's start from verse 3, because from verse 3 is better explicit. There's more to come. We continue to shout our praise even when we are hemmed in with troubles, because we know how troubles can develop passionate patience in us. And this is what he says. And how patience in turn forges the tempered steel of virtue, keeping us alert for whatever God will do when next. So when all that contrary wind is blowing, you must be alert to what God is going to do what next. Remember he said there, he says, I've come to show you what will shortly happen. Which means what is coming next. Which means when you see the clouds, you know what is coming next on the earth is rain. So once that thing says what he says, you have to be shouting to know what's going to happen next. Look at what it now says. He says, in alert expenses such as this, we are never left feeling shortchanged. He says, quite to the contrary. Which means if we enter into what he wants to do, you can't round up enough containers to hold everything God will generously pour into your life. The reason why people are feeling shortchanged is that, listen, when contrary winds started blowing, they said God wasn't faithful. Are you following what I'm saying? That's why people are disgruntled. That's why people are complaining. Because when the contrary winds started blowing, they didn't know that there was something that was coming next. Right? So it's coming next. There. And so God wants to show you that particular thing. So what do? You rejoice. But this rejoicing, and I think the theme of everything I'm going to teach during this Wolfbeck comes down to worship. Which is why I was saying the oratory stuff I became questioning was powerful. Because you know, when we were in school one time, leaders of our fellowship, they said, they quoted the Greek meaning of when it says, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, make your request known unto God. That word thanksgiving, you don't use music in that definition, is oratory thanksgiving. So they told us, oh my, I was so scared that day in fellowship. I was shaking because we were in Lagoon Front, University of Lagos. They just call you spontaneously to come out and praise God. I was shaking, which means you just come out. An oratory praise. They said that's what it is. That this is not, you're just thinking. Oratory praise. Let the word of God dwell richly in you in all wisdom. Speaking psalms. Making melody in your heart unto the Lord. That's why one day, listen, I was a guy in this church. He was praying in the understanding. We were doing prayer meeting 2 hours. I started following him. I said, because I'd never done it before. What are you saying for 2 hours? I was pastor, I was following this man. What are you? He was saying, God, 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 2 hours. That's focused prayer. You know, you can't pray in understanding, you are focused. And you are repeating things for 2 hours. But you know what? Because my cabla shut up. Endless of cabla by. Nanto sabare abala shut up. Nakropale. My spirit prays, but my understanding is something. So this I'm trying to see the holy way to say this. So, if a man comes to meet a lady, what they call rap or toasting. You know the words they say matter. I love you. I just love you. I love you. You know? Uh-huh. But when he says some things in a certain way, even if you don't like him, something will move on this. That I have to move away from this man. If he continues like this, something will shift here. That's what God is saying. Come with the words. Come with lyrical strength. Are you following what I'm saying here? Oh, just God, you love me. God, you love me. I've said this. Every time I'm going to emphasize this. Public praise is different from private praise. I understand particularly people from the world movement are criticizing what is going on now, that there's so much gyration in church, we're just dumping and dry. I understand what they are saying. But public praise, we can allow that. Because everybody must go get into it. But when you are in private with God, your songs have to be different. Paul said, when I come out publicly, I have to use words easy for everybody to understand. He said, but let me tell you, I speak in tongues more than you are. He said, in private, I say things that I can't come publicly here and say it. You may not understand what I am saying. So when you get into it, I want to teach you, there are songs that you sing. There are songs that fit seasons. Do you get what I'm saying here? I don't talk about three songs this evening. There are songs that fit seasons. Go and see the dedication of the temple when they did it. The song they sang was, praise the Lord for he is good and his mercy endureth forever. Let me show you this here in scripture here. David spoke about this here. Alright, in 2 Samuel chapter 22 and verse 1. That's why you go and read Revelation, they'll say, the song of the Lamb, the song of Moses. Put here, 2 Samuel here, 22:1. And David spoke unto the Lord the words of this song in the day that the Lord delivered him out of the hand of his enemies and out of the hand of what? Saul. There was a song he sang on that day. It's not just anything. And listen, I've been teaching for years all my life. When I started singing the right songs, the book was opening up. What I hadn't seen in the Bible, I started seeing it. What I will pray hours and not see, when I started singing some songs, that God said, this is the song. That's why David told them at the dedication of the temple, there was a recorder that entered with them. Because it was spontaneous songs of the Spirit. He said, when they start singing, record it. Bring it out of the temple. There are songs that people sing. So what is the song when the wind begins to blow? It is a song that you construct of God's love for you as a person. Which means you are facing something contrary where you should doubt what is going on. That the song you need to sing is about the love of God and how much he loves you. Even though on the outside you are not feeling good at all. But what you are saying is, God, that's why you see it here in Romans chapter 8. Just look at it. What makes you more than a conqueror? Verse 36 to verse 39. It says, I am more than a conqueror. It is written, all right, from verse 36. Let's put it there. It says, it's written, for thy sake we are killed all day long. We are counted as sheep for slaughter. In other words, people looking at us says, you have come to the end. You have sheep for slaughter. This situation will finish you. You are finished. This is the end. The thing has collapsed. Your business is gone. You are counted as a what? Sheep there for slaughter. Look at what he says next. He says, nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors. Not just a conqueror, more than a conqueror. Who through him that what? Loved us. Which means the key to being more than a conqueror is not my love for God, but his love for me. That in the midst of you accounting me as a sheep for slaughter, I don't doubt God's love for me. That's why Zion said, the Lord has forsaken. God said, I've engraven you upon the palms of my hand. Which means you are going through contrary winds and you are singing to God how much he loves you. That this thing doesn't touch. Do you get what I'm saying here? Your song, that's why Jehoshaphat, in the day of battle, people have said, where is God? He said, the song he sang was, we praise the Lord for his mercy and his endureth forever and his good. That word means his loving kindness. The very time you should doubt is when you should sing about his love. That's what begins to take flight. And let me tell you what happens. Before you can see anything, and I'll show you here, all the pain concerning that circumstance must be taken out of your heart. And as you start singing to him concerning it, yes, I know the winds are contrary. Alright? I mean, I've said this before, I've faced things in life. Even inside this church here, one day something happened. I told God I was in service. I don't think I can survive this thing. This cut is deep. And we were worshiping. He said, sing to me. I said, I don't understand it. He said, thank me for my love for you. I said, thank you for this. This thing is, he said, just do it. You know what happens? The pain inside that thing gets out. The sting of death in it is removed. And you won't know what happened. It's a surgical operation. The Holy Ghost removes it. So there is no pain inside you concerning that particular thing. You can now see clearly. Because if there's pain, you won't see well. This is what I'm saying. If you don't spend in dollars, it doesn't concern you. I'm saying people that are doing business and the crash of the currency looks like you are counted as sheep for what? Slaughter. Don't murmur. Go and thank God that what I could buy has changed into... I'm trying to tell you how you penetrate the spirit realm. Because what God is trying to say is that that business as it is may be over, but there's something else I want to show you. And for you to see it, you must come higher. When you look at things this way, we don't lose at anything. If you abuse us, we thank God. Are you following what I'm saying? If you walk out of us, we thank God. What the enemy meant for evil turns around. But you can't define God's love for you by how much progress you are making. God's love is an unconditional love. Whether things seem to be working on the outside or not working, God loves you. Are you following what I'm saying? So, a songwriter, I won't call his name now because I won't call his name because he's a songwriter. You know, Paul himself quoted poets that were not in, you know, he said, even your poets are saying this. Didn't he say it? Ah, you are not listening. Okay, I will leave it. I will not say, since your spirits have rejected it. But Paul quoted poets. I'll have quoted it for you. He said, no matter how, he told the people, he said, I don't look good. You say, I'm totally ugly. He said, yes, I don't deny the fact that I'm ugly, but God loves me. He said, that's why when we get into the field, I outdo all of you because I have a conviction of God's love for me. Do you understand what I'm saying? While you are redefining yourself by your looks. So it's a law. Psalm 42 and verse 8. Right? As it brings to a close. And so this is the first song I want to sing here. The Lord will command his loving kindness in the daytime. In the night, his song shall be what? With me. Which means when it's night season is the time to do what? Sing. Songs are meant for nights. Are you following what I'm saying here? Alright? Look at Psalm 77 and verse 6. That's what you do at night. Psalm 77 and verse 6. I call to remembrance my song in the what? Night. Let me just say this here. Why do we sometimes miss out on these seasons? Because we don't spend enough time praying in the Holy Spirit to break into the realm of the Spirit. Why do we miss out on these seasons? Because we don't spend enough time just meditating even upon things that have happened in our lives to increase our sensitivity to our environment. That you just sit down and don't just enjoy what God has done. Sit down and says, I meditate upon your works. So you develop a perception, all right, so that when there's that movement on the outside, you know that this is God, all right, that is moving within your environment. Job chapter 35, verse 10 and verse 11, it tells us also about this song. It says, but none saith, where is God my maker? Who giveth what? Songs in the night. You know, Let me go to the verse before this. Go to the verse. He says, by the reason of the multitude of oppressions, They make the oppressed to cry. They cry by reason of the arm of the mighty. Do you know, if you're under oppression, you are justified to complain. He said, but there is none. Look at the next verse. There is none that saith. Where is God my maker? Who giveth what? Songs in the night. What will be the result of that song? The song say, who teaches us to more than the beasts of the earth and makes us wiser than the fowls of the heaven. So he doesn't remove the oppressor, you are just wiser than the oppressor. I've said this, we don't fly today because there is no gravity. The law of gravity is there. We fly because we are wiser than the law of gravity. Are you following what I'm saying? So that first song there is a song of his love. In other words, you sing like they sang. So you sing it whichever way you want to construct it. You go back into things that God has done in your life and you sing to him of how much he loves you. Go back into areas. I think I had Bishop T.J. say this many years ago. He said Jesus took bread and then he blessed it and then he broke it and then he multiplied it. He said, you can't multiply what you don't break. But before he breaks you, he will bless you. So that when he's breaking, you have the memory that you were blessed. Are you following what I'm saying here? Then there can be what? Multiplication there. So he takes it, but you are blessed. Alright? There you can complain. Why do the contrary win? There are many things God has done for you. That you should take all those things back to him in song. How much you loved me in certain night seasons of my life. Those things have never been sung back to God in appreciation. Are you following what I'm saying here? Never communicated back in a song. Which means in worship there, you construct your own song. Look, New Testament worship as a private citizen is without instruments. That's what you don't want to say. Making melody in your heart. You are making melody in your heart. You are not repeating what somebody else said on the outside. You are making melody in your heart. I have never worshipped God twice with the same words. Privately. If you ask me to sing what I sang, I can't remember. It's an expression of things that he has shown me. An expression of that love there. And you know, once you start doing that, what happens is, listen, all that pain, all that, and other, and then you start going high. Now, once you get to the point where you will even be impressed with yourself, that how come this thing is not even making me scared again? Then when you get to that height, so it starts with chaos, then the next thing is calling. Now, because of time, it can work two ways. God can reveal the word to you, or he can show you something in life. You know, the Bible says he will cause the deaf to hear the words of the book, but he will cause the blind to see out of obscurity. Seeing is not Bible. Seeing is you saw something. Seeing is that you are in tech and you saw something. Are you following what I'm saying here? Seeing is that you're a medical doctor and you saw an opportunity. Seeing is that somebody's in ministry and you saw a gap. That's where you get into the prophetic in what you are doing, which means you saw something. Ah, there's this thing. If we do it like this, you saw something there. Now, when you see it, it's a challenge. This is the point. Because when you see it in the midst of the crisis, it's Jesus walking on water. Now, we'll get to the third part. This is where you look at it and it will cost $100 million to do this thing. Your sight is right, but your pocket. But you know what God has done? God wants to raise a new king through you. That's why the Bible says kings will be startled and say, how come you saw something we didn't see? How come you saw a product in this thing we didn't see it? All right? So he wants to raise and he gives you that sight. And when you see it there, and it starts with chaos, which means God is moving and saying, look, there's something going on here. I'm trying to get your attention. And then you move high to that point. And then you look. And then you see it. So it's chaos. It's a calling. And this is just like Noah. God showed him. Go and build an ark. He saw something. Every great man of faith were not believing for their needs. They saw something. Moses, he saw something. The children of Israel should come out of here. But how do I get them out? We'll get to the third thing. Right? You see something there. Something massive. You see it in the spirit realm. And you say, this is this particular thing. Right? So how then do I reach it? Now, that is where you now go to God. After seeing it. If it is you, bid me to come. Do you get what I'm saying here? Because it's tech. There's no scripture. But if it's you, I'm not coming out until you bid me to come. I was here. Now I need a scripture to work on. Do you get what I'm saying here? I have seen the opportunity. It's real time now. Right? Jesus walked and said, come, there's an opportunity. You look at it. Okay? So here's the challenge. It says the door is open. There are many adversaries. If it's you, Jesus, I'm not sure, bid me to come. Now, that coming now is to open up scriptures to you because of time. If we go to Revelations, there is a song to open scriptures. Look, there is a song. Some, what I'm giving you is secret code, though. And then we suffered to get to this place, so. We suffered, though. Listen, we are saying like this. We suffered, though. Whereas you've been reading Bible, you said it is sealed. The book is sealed. They're just telling us scripture. Which scripture? It will be sealed. Now, you want to see. Is a song you used to open it. In Revelation chapter 5, and I'm going to now close as to how you will do it with another song. A song you sing. Look, I said this many years ago. I was here. I said it. God said, who will go first? He said, let Judah go first. Here, Wolf Becker, about 7 years ago, I said, the time is coming. Worship leaders in this country will open up the door. There will be no more than preachers. It's happening now. Yes. That, listen, those who are singing are the ones going to be in front. It starts with the song. It's not a Jesus. When we are here, we can be singing, Jesus, you are coming now. For private worship, it's code, though. Look at Revelation 5:1. And I will show you the last one. And I saw at the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written within and on the backside, sealed with how many? 7 seals. Next verse. And I saw a strong angel proclaim with a voice, who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof? And no man in heaven, nor on the earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book, neither look thereon. And I wept much, because you go throughout life without anything. No man was found to read the book, neither to look thereon. And I wept much, because no man. And one of the elders said unto me, weep not. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has prevailed to open the book and to loose the seals thereof. Verse 6, and I beheld in the throne there 4 beasts. In the midst of the elders stood a lamb that had been slain, having 7 horns, 7 eyes, which were the 7 spirits sent forth. Verse 7, it now says, and he came and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat on the throne. And then when he had taken the book, the 4 beasts and 12 elders fell down before the lamb, having every one of them harps, golden vials, full of odors, which were the prayers of the saints. You can be praying, and that book is closed. The saints were praying. They took the prayer. But the book was still what? Closed. Look at what happened next. And they sang what? A new song. It's not any song. That's why David got it. He said, God has put a new song in my mouth. He said, it is written of me in the volume of the book. That's how he contacted it. How could David have the audacity? Think about this. Moses, think about it. Moses built a tabernacle after 40 days of praying and fasting. 40 days and came down. His face was radiating with glory. He said, God said, build according to the pattern shown on you in the mount. He carried it and gave the sacrifices, everything that he got. David came and said, listen, burnt offering and sacrifice in that wood is not. Say that one is not the accurate one. We are going to set a tabernacle of David over. How can you have the audacity to say it? In a culture of respect. How did he get it? It was a new song. The seal was open. Every side he said, listen, they said, look, women cannot enter. He said, women can enter. Children can enter. Anybody can enter. He said, leave that. They left Moses' tabernacle. He put his own tabernacle there. He says, we're not doing burnt offering and sacrifice. We'll be singing in the morning and singing in the evening. He said, my ear has thou opened. Are you following what I'm saying here? Write what I'm saying down. The future is for worshipers. There are many things we teach that will not be necessary if we are worshipers. It's the absence of true worship. That's why Jesus said, the Father seeketh. Not singers, those that will worship in spirit and in truth. That's the only thing Jesus said the Father is seeking for. So he says, now let's quick, because of time. So the prayers were there. The book was still sealed. Oh yeah, let's go on. Quickly. They sang a new song. Thou art worthy to take the book. So you write it. This is what you sing to Jesus. You are worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof. For thou was what? Slain. And has redeemed us unto God by thy blood. Out of every kindred, tongue, people, and nation. And he says, and has made us what? Kings and priests, that we shall reign on the earth. The way you're going to reign is by the opening of it. Then he goes on. He says, and beheld, and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne, beasts, and number of them were 10,000. If you go to Daniel, it's there. Next verse. And the Bible says, saying with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power, riches, wisdom, strength, honor, glory, and blessing. All right? And every creature, so they sang that. Next, let's go to chapter 6, verse 1. All right? And Father, amen. All right? Chapter 6, verse 1. He says, and I saw the Lamb open one of the seals. After that song was sung. So you have, let me just say this here. You have prayed to the Lord concerning something. Then you sing that song to him. Then he opens the book to you concerning it. Now, let me just jump and close. Because the time is up. So he opened the seals and they began to get revelation. Please, let's go back to that scripture that says the prayers of the saints, the unctions on the vials and the prayers of the saints. Go back and read that. And when you are taking the book, all right, every one of them with what? Harps, golden vials full of odors, which were the what? Prayers of the saints. So in chapter 6, he opened the seals and people began. And revelation came. So he opened the seven seals. When he had finished opening the seven seals, so Jesus bids you to do what? Come. Okay. But still, it's $100 million. He said, come. It is written. You have seen it is what? Written. But money is still not there. But he says, let's start walking on water. So when we get to Revelation 8, it now tells us manifestation. That's what I want to show you. This is what I came to show you today. Come and say it too. I suffer. Revelation 8:1. And when he had opened the seven seals, there was silence in heaven for the space of 30 minutes. You can have revelation and there is silence. Are you following what I'm saying? So let's look at what happened next. And I saw seven angels which stood before God, and was given to them seven trumpets. Each trumpet was for the seal, but nothing happened. And another angel came and stood on the altar, having a golden censer. You know, that's the same place Zechariah stood. when incense was going up. That's the same place when angel Gabriel came down. Now, look at it. And there was given unto him much incense that he should, there was given unto him much incense that he should offer it with the prayers of the saints upon the golden altar before the throne. Next verse. And the smoke of the incense. This is the first time smoke is involved. Which came with the prayers of the saints ascended before God. Next verse. And then the angel took censer and filled it with fire from the altar from heaven and cast it. You see, when Elijah said, God answered by fire, let him be God. He knew this technology. That fire manifestations will start. But what was the key here? This time he didn't say they came with harps and they came with vials. He said the smoke. Do you know what smoke means? Burnt offering. In other words, what he's saying here is that when you start walking on water, to sustain that walk, we need burnt offering. Burnt offering means your body as a living sacrifice unto God. You cannot for 1 second judge anything by the sight of your eyes or by how you feel. What must come up must be the incense. This is not, we are just singing now. That first one was just the odor and everything. This one is now, you are offering up, which means you are here, you know, that's the key. That's what we're now saying. That it says, and they overcame him by the blood. We say that by the word of his testimony. But we forget the last one. They love not their life unto what? Death. Now, to close, a trumpet is a prophetic word. Before anybody can prophesy to anything for it to happen, there must be smoke coming as burnt offering. Are you following what I'm saying here? In other words, if I'm going to prophesy about my future, death must walk in me for the life of Jesus to be made manifest. So, God says, are you ready? That's why he says, can you be baptized with the baptism? And it says, my friend, is fire baptism? Or you say, we are okay. Alright? So you go through things there and you know the path. You are singing and you are worshiping God. And your flesh is literally being consumed. Someone said there's no fire in God. What Bible says God is a consuming fire? Isn't that what you say? That's fine. So he takes up the burnt offering there. And you present your bodies to him there. And you are singing that song of sacrifice, the Lord, I present. I am not going to judge anything by the sight of my eyes. I'm not going to judge by the hair. I'm not going to judge by how I feel about this particular thing. I'm going to be here and I will worship and I will sing. And as you continuously sing every step of the way, God will begin to do what? To show up at every point that burnt offering. You know, we call him and call him the Lord my helper, Ebenezer. But let's see what happened when those who said Ebenezer got it. 1 Samuel chapter 7 and verse 8. The key was the smoke. All right. Something in you must die. Okay. Things in you, that death will walk in you. And when that death is at work in you, you are there worshiping God and singing. Put it up. 1 Samuel, alright. The children of Israel said to Samuel, cease to cry unto the Lord. You can imagine what David offered up. God cannot deny burnt offering. No. They came to David and said, David, your child has died. Because God judged that. And he said, your child has died. He said, yes. David turned around and hit God with worship. He didn't sing based on if you were feeling here. He worshipped God. And once the burnt offering comes up, what that person is asking for cannot be denied. That's why Solomon came out of that situation. What answered it was that burnt offering that he brought. I've said this here before. God told me once, said, I miss David. He said, there's nothing that happens to David. He will reply with worship. He said, there's too much complaining on the earth. You know, once I said, God, when you pray angels, he said, let me tell you what the problem you have with this angelic thing. He says, the business of angels in heaven is worship. And is my will be done on the earth as it is in heaven. When I send angels, they can't stay in an environment where there's no worship. They don't know complaining. They will leave the place. They understand how Lucifer got into rebellion. If they see those signs, they will depart quickly. They can't touch it. It's people that have made worship. Throw this at them, they worship. Throw that at them, they worship. Look at it here. The burnt offering. We'll continue tomorrow here. And the children of Israel said to Samuel, cease not to cry unto the Lord your God that he will save us out of the hands. Children of Israel said to Samuel, cease not to cry and save us out of the hands of Philistines. See how they were saved. Verse 9. It says, and Samuel took a sucking lamb and offered it for a what? Burnt offering. And every offering in the Old Testament has a type in the New. When they say burnt offerings, your body has a living sacrifice. See what it says there. It says, and Samuel cried unto the Lord for Israel, and the Lord heard him. The next verse, and Samuel was offering up a burnt offering, and the Philistines drew near to battle against Israel. But the Lord thundered with a great thunder the day the Philistines were discomforted. Verse 11, it says, and the men of Israel went to Mizpah and pursued the Philistines, smote them till they came there. Verse 12, which is the last one. And Samuel took a stone and set it between Mizpah and Shen and called the name of the place Ebenezer, saying, hitherto hath the Lord what? Helped us. So is this burnt offering here that brings that supernatural, all right, help? And this burnt offering here is different. I think Minister Dusi has a song. What's the song now? More than a song. What's the song? I don't know. Don't sing what is not right to. What's it? Someone should take the mic and sing it. We will close with that. Instrumentalists, go. This thing you are singing, let's sing it. Worship is more than...
I have more than a song.
Can you see?
Today,
let's rise to our feet.
I brought myself. I am the sacrifice.
So you are the sacrifice, not just the song.
I am more than a song. Today, I brought myself.
Heads bowed and eyes closed. We heard this evening on baggage and the sin that doth so easily beset. If you are in this auditorium this evening, two things. And you have never confessed Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, Maybe somebody brought you into this place this evening and said, follow me, let's go for a convention. You learn principles about life. But you know inside your heart that you have never met with Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior and confessed Him as your Lord. And you want to do that this evening, I want to give you an opportunity. Number two, if you have not been prayed for, where you got baptized in the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in other tongues. You've been around people, you've seen people do it. You've heard about how powerful an experience it is. This is a curious moment for you. This is an opportune moment for you. The portal is opened up in heaven for you to receive the Spirit of God into your life. With all heads bowed and eyes closed, if you fall into any of those two categories, wherever you are, just lift up your right hand and I'll pray for you. Wherever you are, just lift up your right hand, right, and I will pray for you. Ushers, please go around so I know where people are. Just lift up your right hand and God bless you for the hand. God bless you for that hand. All right, God bless you for that hand. God bless you for that hand. Those on the outside, all right, so in the tent outside, ushers, please, all right. Now, if you have your right hand up, please, just take all of your belongings and come forward right here to lift up your hand. Where the altar? All right, just right where I am. Just come forward and we'll pray for you this evening so that you live here with the greatest gift that God has ever given to man, Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit. Just come forward. God bless you. Just come forward. All right, ushers, encourage them. Come forward. God bless you. Come forward. Come forward. All right, people from outside, the tent outside, please. You let them come in. Let them also come in. They're part of the service. And also, if you are online, you also say this prayer. All right, you are part of what's going on here. Come forward. We'll wait. And more people. All right, let them come. Amen and amen. God bless you. Any more, let them come forward. All right, quickly, quickly. We'll wait for you. God bless 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 you. Let's just stretch forth our hands towards them and pray for these ones, that if there be any hindrance in them receiving Jesus or the Holy Spirit, Jesus as their personal Lord and Savior and Holy Spirit there as a gift, that hindrance be removed, that instantly as they are prayed for, it will happen. If you are online also and you've been listening in and you want to receive Jesus also as your personal Lord and Savior, all right, if you're right here, all of you, now everybody in Auditorium, make this confession also with me. But if you're right here in front, just put your hand, right hand on your chest and make this declaration. Father, I believe in my heart that you sent Jesus Christ to die for my sins. I believe on the third day he was raised up for my justification. I today confess Jesus as my personal Lord and a Savior. I declare that through the blood of Jesus Christ, all of my sins have been remitted and washed away. I have been translated out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of God's Son. I am born again. Jesus is my Lord and my Savior. Father, I pray for all those who have made this confession, that let an eternal seal be placed upon them. When they are prayed for, I ask that eternal life goes into their spirits in sufficient measure to sustain them in the kingdom all the days of their lives. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. And for those who are going to pray to receive the Holy Spirit, I ask that every hindrance be removed out of their consciousness, that as hands are laid upon them, instantly they receive the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking other tongues. God bless you all. You've made the greatest choice this evening. All right. So you can go, please, with, you can just go with the, who are they? Well, just for the chaps in white, all right, in white there, just lead them as they go. All right. Let's put our hands together for them. All right. This evening has been a great start. All right, I forgot to say, tomorrow, 4 people will be ministering.